completely overrun by inane media. There are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
I think how you said now before you hit the thing.
No, I hit the thing and I said now before I hit
it. I know, so it wouldn't say that would be fun if the first thing it just says now.
But it's not. But it's you talking about how I said now before I pressed the button.
Which is as it should be.
I suppose so.
Yes. wait, before we start, what number is this?
29?
Okay, that's what I thought. Hello. I didn't see you there. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat and the only podcast that I had something. I don't remember. I'm going to go the only podcast that does not use a gratuitous umlaut. It's probably a lie though. Probably quite a few of those. Most in fact. Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 29. This, we're going to claim it's this episode from now on.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
So that people don't think we're too old.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say it. And I was wondering if I was going to say it if you didn't.
But I took care of it. Got it under control. And
do people even know what that means anymore? Because I mean, I think that was
people still lie about being 29.
Okay,
people still freak out about turning 30.
That joke originated with Jack Benny.
I
don't know if anybody even knows who that is anymore.
See that? No, nobody does. Not even his ancestors or descendants.
You know, I'm really not that old, but
you are. We got two new people liking the hat today, including Kelly, who I did not suspect listened. So if you're listening, Kelly, welcome. Or hi, we see you there now if you've been listening all along. And also gives me hope that Sean is still listening, which is awesome too. So there may be some silent hard hats out there.
Silent hard
that
hats.
Don't need the attention like some people. What are you going to do next? Start a podcast where people have to listen to you? yeah. So, how was your consumption of media this week?
It wasn't significant. But, you know, tomorrow I am going to the Englert Theaters having the...
The Metropolis.
Yes.
Thing. I saw that just a few minutes ago.
I'm going to that tomorrow.
By the way, I want to say something about the new Facebook setup.
Okay.
A lot of people say a lot about it.
Yeah.
But I want to say, which nobody seems to be mentioning, poking, a little more difficult now.
Is it?
A little bit more of an issue. I have basically one person that I poke, because they poke me, and we poke back, and we just kind of poke all the time, and I think you know who this is.
Okay.
And it's just a little trickier now, and it's also weird, because it also comes up as a notification that they poked me. But if I click on the notification, it just freaking takes me to their page. So I have to find where they poked me over in the side, which sounds weird. and then click on it, and then there's a poke back. It's weird. It just used to be so-and-so poked you. Poke back, and you click on poke back and go from there. It's a little tricky now. And that's not getting enough bitching. People are bitching about the rest of it, but they're not bitching about poking. A little more difficult. So get on it.
I basically don't. Facebook has changed several times since I joined, and it's never occurred to me to even say anything or think anything about it. It's like, okay, now everything's different. I'll look around, and I figure out where everything is. Now I get used to it, and it's over.
I haven't even messed with a lot of it yet because I don't have my computer back, which, by the way, is why the terrible quality here.
Come on,
we're
it's not
still
that
using,
bad.
It probably sounds exactly the same. We're still using Williams. We don't have a backup plan tonight. The people that I ran to with the thumb drive panicked late at night last time aren't there tonight.
Whoa. So it's all me.
We are without Annette, dude.
I got to do it right. It'll be fine.
But yeah, it'll be good. But if you're not hearing this, that's why. So keep that in mind. Also, it's really windy tonight. So if we cut out suddenly, it's because the wind
the power
knocked wind over the tree outside and it crashed into us. And the people who found our body published this on the site, I guess.
Which could happen, because the hat will probably survive and
well, yeah.
Find new people to, I don't know.
Enslave, let's be honest.
Enslave. Yeah.
Let's call it you're what right, it is.
That is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, so tomorrow night you're going to go see Metropolis remastered by George Lucas. No, wait. Sorry.
No.
Replaced all the guns in Metropolis with walkie-talkies. And
well, it's the first time I've ever seen it.
And Hayden Christensen is in there now. You've never seen Metropolis?
No. It's really odd that I haven't seen it, because it is the kind of thing that I would...
It's that see. Really kind of like uninteresting, nerdy kind of thing that yes. just really is yes. normally your kind yes. of thing. Like nerdy, but not fun, yeah. which is right. tends yeah. to draw you.
Right. So, but it, you know, just one thing after the other prevented it from ever happening. So now the first time I'm going to see it, it's
yeah.
cleaned up. It's nicer. It's, you know, remastered, whatever.
When you see all the CGI, just remember it used to be hand puppets.
But more importantly, you know, the film was released, I think, in 1927. And the Englert has recently been restored to its 1920s grandeur. So
ooh.
I'm seeing this film in, you know, it's like going back in time and watching this film. So I'm really excited about
Nerdception.
It.
Nerdception.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Are you going to dress up?
If I had anything to dress up in, I would.
I had to say on somebody today, I was like, I used to dress up because they dressed up. I said, why? And they said, every once in a while, you just got to do that. And I used to feel that way when I had clothes that were nice. I said, but that was back when I had other people paying for my clothes.
I probably will dress better than I normally do, but I don't really
that have... That is what we call a low bar.
Yeah, I don't really have... Exactly. I don't really have very much fancy clothes.
Yeah.
I might. But it's just going to be... For a long time, it's one of those films that, for me, I hadn't seen it and I intended to, and then I'd hear about it. Oh, yeah, I got to see that. Or I'd see it in the Netflix queue or something. And it just never happened, and I'm kind of glad it never happened, because I think it's going to be cool that the first time I've ever gotten to see it is in this theater, in this situation. And also a special kind of group is playing along, accompanying it, you know, called the Alloy Orchestra. There's only three guys, but they do all of these instruments and sounds and stuff, and so it should be very interesting.
Mm. Well, you'll have to report on it next week.
Well, that's one of the reasons I brought it up this week, because I might not remember.
Ah.
Which is weird, because it's going to be a great thing for me, a great event, and I'll think it's wonderful, but I still might not remember.
And this way...
Yeah. well, I'm hoping maybe you'll remember.
People will be shouting at their, you know...
No, I'm hoping
devices you... saying, what about the Metropolis? But we'll forget.
I'm hoping you'll remember.
I find that unlikely.
Okay. Well... That's why I tell people things. So
I will forget out of spite.
Well,
I have the capability to do that.
I just forget. If I didn't do things with people, I'd never think I did anything. I don't do much.
As somebody who does stuff with you, I don't think you do anything. So.
Yeah, I don't have a very good memory for some reason. Never have, really.
I was sick again this week.
Again?
Yes. All the time.
Well, but this was the possible food poisoning.
I think it was. Here's what I know. Hmm. Monday, I'm fine. Monday, I got a little headache in the afternoon, but mm-hmm. you know, I took some ibuprofen, fine.
Right.
Monday night, go to bed. And I really kind of have a headache, like as I'm like going to bed, and I'm really cold, and the windows are still open in our house, and it gets chilly at night, but you know, I got a lot of cover. I got a couple different covers and a comforter on and stuff. And I'm still just, like, really chilled and, like, to the point of my teeth are chattering. I got a headache, and I'm just, like, tired and sort of delirious enough I don't get up. And I really got kind of delirious. I eventually got up at like 4 a.m. because I was convinced my wife had turned the heater on, but the windows were still open, and I'm like, we can't heat it all out. So I got up, and I decided to take my temperature, and it's 101.1.
Well, do you get a fever when you have food poisoning?
You can.
Oh.
Because it's a type of infection.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is not good. So I didn't go to work, and I went to the doctor, because I just haven't had a fever that high in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to the urgent care, and they basically have no idea. And they're sort of like, they didn't come out and say it, but they're sort of like, you've had a fever for one day. Why the hell are you here?
Aren't they nice?
And they kind of ruled out food poisoning because I wasn't having the, you know, digestive related side effects one tends to have.
Mm-hmm.
But that afternoon I did.
Oh,
so I that's see. Why I think it was. But like things like that, you know, it was really bad. I mean, I felt that morning, I felt just worse than I felt in ages. But then by the next day I was fine.
Well, what do you think you had? Or what did you
I don't
any?
Know because I had some scallops and shrimp in a dish at my work's cafeteria.
Oh.
Which just sends up all sorts of red flags.
Yeah.
But it's a good cafeteria, and I didn't hear about anybody else having any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a day or two before that, I was at a Mexican place here, then I had a dish with shrimp that I often have, and I thought the shrimp tasted weird. And being the brilliant, you know, one that I am, when shellfish tastes weird, what do? You cover it in hot sauce, and then it tastes fine. And you eat it anyway. So, yeah. but so now I'm feeling better.
Okay, good.
My computer's still not working, so that's sad. I finished today book 12 of the Dresden Files.
Yes, I saw you announce that on Facebook.
Holy crap.
And you said that too.
Yes, it is holy crap.
what does that mean? Is that good, bad, not either one?
It was a big... A lot of stuff happened at the end. All sorts of surprises at the end of this book.
Surprises, that's good.
Like twists and craziness and stuff. And then the ending, wow. And it's funny to me because I've been reading the RPG and it's set up to take place basically after book 10. And part of that was the timing, but it actually, I think another book or two had been out by the time the RPG came out. But now I see, because starting with book 11, like, major things change.
Oh, I see.
And especially, yeah, it would be weird to try and play an RPG sort of past that point. I don't want to get everything in a way. But once I get my computer back, I have a credit on Audible so I can download Side Jobs, which is a bunch of short stories sort of tied in. And then I'll have to wait until October 24th to get another credit so I can download Ghost Story. And then I will have read all of them. Well, listened to. And so, I still highly recommend them all, but you gotta, Mark, more so than ever, read them in order. They're technically standalone, but you really shouldn't mess with, like, no.
So there's 13 of them?
There are 13 of them and a book of short stories.
Oh.
Yes. So far. The 14th is going to be called Cold Days or something, but it's not. It doesn't exist yet. It's still going. Oh, did you go to parade last night?
No.
Oh, we went to the parade because it's
you went to
right there.
You did?
Oh, it's half a block
yeah,
away.
Yeah, it's right near here, sure.
Half a block from us
it's
is
the
where
parade.
They do...
This is what
it was the only parade last night.
But it's this—it's the City High...
It's City High's homecoming
yeah,
parade.
Yeah, why would we go to the City High homecoming
parade? Because it's awesome.
Yeah, but our kids go to West High.
So,
I don't think they even have a parade.
I don't even have kids.
Yeah, but you're, like you said, you're half a block away.
Lazy.
Exactly. Awesome. So if you had kids, for you to go to their homecoming parade, you'd have to like live right on the street.
You're lazy, I'm saying.
Why would I go? Because
you didn't go.
But
it's awesome.
My kids are not city kids. They're West kids.
Don't you love parades?
No.
Really?
Actually, no, I don't.
Really?
No, I've never been into them even when I was a kid.
But your hometown...
I know, and we had a lot of parades, and I was in the parades a lot of times.
You should be all about that.
I was on the float, or I was in the marching band.
What
That's probably why I don't really like
this. This is probably the flaw in the genetic experiment that was your existence. Is it like, he was going to be our shining example, but he doesn't like parades.
Not really.
This one was.
I'm not really sure.
I get way into parades.
I've never really understood the point.
I teach the people riding in the cars how to wave because they're not doing it right. I conduct the band and stuff like this, and I yell at the old people.
I liked going places to be in parades when I was in band, but whenever anyone said, well, there's going to be a parade this afternoon, are you going to go? I've never had any interest in going.
I actually totally can't stand parades either. But Trish made me go to this one the first time when we were here because she's like, it's half a block away. It's a freaking parade. This is what she did with me with fireworks too. And in both cases, I went and I had experienced it all through childhood, you know, parades and fireworks. I'm like, meh, whatever. Now I like them. I don't know that I like all parades. I like this parade because it's just kids. You know, all the elementary schools are there and stuff.
That's true.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, with our neighbors, mm-hmm. the one-year-old and the three-year-old there. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
The three-year-old had a bag like this big by like this big by like this big.
Of candy and stuff?
Well, it was empty at first. It was full of the candy. For you at home, did you see how far apart my hands were? I'm going to say, you know, 6 inches by like 3-4 inches and then like 8 or 9 inches tall bag. And she was out there in her little fairy dress.
Oh, fairy dress, sure.
Yes. Cause she, I said like, does she think she's trick or treating? He's like, no, she just always wears it. And she's, you know, doing the cute face and stuff. And there, a bunch of people had shown, like her old daycare people had shown up and somebody knew from Tot Time. So there was a bunch of us. So I wasn't near her till afterwards and we're getting all the stuff together. That bag was full.
Yeah, sure.
I've never seen a kid get that much candy. Even if she won't get that much at Halloween. It's just freakish. And I got some candy you can see over there, and there's some candy. And
it looks like mostly bubblegum.
Candy. Oh god. Yes. And part of that's because the little kids can't eat the bubblegum, so I take that and I give them the other stuff.
Okay.
But I also got a canceled out deck of poker cards.
Canceled out?
Yeah. At casinos, when they use a deck, they can't reuse it. And so to show that it was done, they basically drill a hole straight through it.
Huh.
And I'm out there, and people are throwing candy and stuff like this. And this happened a few times, is like the one little like 6-year-old girl who's all shy just wants to give candy to somebody. So she runs up to me because I happen to be right there and hands me a piece and smiles shyly and runs off again. And that's it. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's fine. But this one runs up and hands me a deck of playing cards and runs off.
Hmm.
And it's a real, it's from Riverside. Like it has like the table that it was used at and the time and the date and everything on it. And I was like, what the heck? And then I found out that this particular school had gotten a bunch of them and they were handing them out to them. But at the time, none of us had seen any yet. And I'm just like, that little girl just gave me a used deck of casino cards. So I got that. That was fun. That was a good parade. I was happy with that.
Well, all right then.
I like watching kids whip candy at other kids. It's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't consumed any particular media. I haven't seen any movies this week, but I'm very proud of my wife. Today, she decided on her own to stop watching Ringer.
Oh, wow.
Because it's that bad.
Well, how many shows have there been?
Like 3.
Really? That many?
Maybe 2. It may only have been 2.
I decided to stop watching at -1.
Me too.
Yeah.
And yeah, this morning, and in fact, I happened to come out when I was getting ready for work, and she had it on TV, and she showed me like the scene that was the instant she decided not to. And I was like, I'm so proud of you. She's still watching a lot of crap, and she's adding to it, but she got rid of that one, and I'm proud of her for that. So.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything that I've done this week aside from working.
On what?
Well, I'm still working on the novel, which I think I'm going to be sending you a copy soon, actually.
Oh, man.
And
Do I have to remember what happened in the second one? Because I don't.
I don't know.
I remember the first one. I don't know why. I remember the first one really vividly.
Well, the second
one... then again, I read the first one like 4 times.
Right, because I had you read it several times.
And I read it once when it was published. And yeah, I think I literally read the second one once.
I don't know. I don't know. As I was writing it, I was thinking, I really want this to sort of stand alone in a lot of ways. And then I think there came a point where I realized, no, it's not going to work. Like I told you before, I'm kind of trying to tie up a lot of loose ends with it. But I don't know if you have to.
Well, you might have to send along a copy of Harbingers I can update myself. Sure I ever read the final version of Harbingers anyway.
Okay.
So this third one's called Eclipse, right?
I don't remember what I'm going to... I mean, I was going to call it Threshers. That's what I was going to call it for a long time.
Threshers?
Yep. Because there's a faction called this in the story.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't really...
Thresh?
No.
Call it Winnowers.
No, they... well, let's just say there are a lot of things happening in it that I didn't...
Call them Combines.
...think about before, and so I'm not sure that that's an adequate title anymore.
And besides, people will think of the weird Loch Ness Monster-looking things from World of Warcraft.
Okay. So, I don't know. But I'm working on a few other things, too, and I'm thinking of when I... publish the third one, like putting the three of them together in a collection and maybe putting some short stories at the end of it. So I'm working on
this. What do you mean thinking of? I thought that was a given.
The part I'm thinking about doing is the short stories at the end of it. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but if I do, I have to prepare the ones that I've got lined up for that and everything. Because I took some backstory notes for one of my characters in Harbingers, and I tried to format it into a short story, and I posted it on my website, which didn't work very well, but I'm working on it to make it a little bit better so that I can take some of these notes that I've written and I'm not actually using in the books and maybe turn them into nice little short story things so people who like the books might and want to learn more about certain characters and their backstory can learn it, you know, without me just putting my notes out there just the way they were.
Yeah.
And so that's mostly what it is, and then a few other things that I thought were okay that might be nice to put at the end of a collection. So that's mostly it. I had an idea for a TV series that I'm working with a guy to see if I can find some contacts in Hollywood to pitch it to.
It's not Ringer, is it? Because that's not good.
No.
Okay.
I'm not gonna discuss.
Oh.
On the air, what it is.
Don't rip him off. It's a dark retelling of an old fairy tale.
And Dan Elfman is going to be composing the score.
No, the TV shows. Every TV shows, and actually every movie right now, there's a dark retelling of an old fairy tale. Do we want to talk at all about how DC Comics isn't even pretending they don't hate women anymore?
I didn't know.
Have you not been checking this out?
Well, I've been getting updates on things with DC, and I...
There's a really impressive essay from a woman about, since the relaunch, two titles in particular, Catwoman and, what's it called, Red and the Hoods or something like that, that just... like, I know it's like, it's comics, so they're already really exploitive and sexist and somewhat misogynist, but this sort of blows it out of the water.
Well, have the relaunch has happened already, or they just released a couple things? Or?
No, September 1st.
Oh, so...
Was the relaunch, the restart for everything.
So Batman and Superman have all restarted?
Everybody.
Huh. I wasn't sure... I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that literally they all came out the same day, but Flashpoint ended everything, I think.
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of that. It's funny because I was subscribing to the Batman title until maybe a year ago.
Mm.
I probably should have kept with it just so that I would have a full set up to the end.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I'll put the link to there's that essay, and then there's a follow-up. I'll put the link to both of those.
All right.
in the show notes.
I haven't been keeping up on any of that.
I gotta admit, I'm slow. I mean, it's like a week ago, and I just finally caught up. Actually, tonight, I finally had a chance to read this because it's. I will tell you. Here's how I'm gonna screw with people. The warning is only gonna be in the episode, not in the actual link. The images in the essay are arguably not safe for work.
Really?
Well, they're not blatant. I mean, it's a comic book, so it's softcore, but it's no. It,
oh, I see.
There are illustration examples of what is so horrible about this stuff. And,
okay.
But very well written. It may piss off some people who do not have particularly feminist views or who have a different school of feminist views. But I found it just really impressive.
Huh.
So.
Well, I'll have to give it a look.
Yeah. You want to talk about Charlie Sheen?
No.
Comedy Central did their roast of him.
Yeah, I saw that it was coming and I thought, what, why? You know, it's like. I don't know.
Come on, I saw the review and they had, I don't even remember who it was now, said, they had this great joke, how much cocaine can Charlie Sheen do? Enough to kill 2.5 men.
See, that's not, it's all too easy, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, how do you roast someone who's basically roasted himself. I mean, it's not.
Oh, come on, they did it for Hugh Hefner, William Shatner, Pamela Anderson. These are people who fit like that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
The Bob Saget one was good.
Whatever. I don't care.
William loves Charlie Sheen.
So on the show, he just died. It's one of those things where
I think he yeah.
Suddenly he's dead.
And Ashton Kutcher is, and Ashton Kutcher. I think it was a car accident. And Ashton Kutcher is a suicidal millionaire who buys the house and decides to let John Cryer and the kid still live in it. I believe. I have seen probably 2 episodes of 2.5 Men ever. It was many years ago, and I have not seen any since. But I believe that's what I picked up from AV Club a while back.
Whatever. It just amazes me how this stuff can claim so much news time. It's so insignificant and it doesn't mean anything.
But winning.
Whatever. You know what I think would be winning right now is drawing something out of the hat.
That's what you always think.
That's what we're here for.
I think we're enslaved to your enslavement.
We're not here to talk. We're not here to chat about our week and our consumption of media. We're here to draw things out of the hat and read the questions and comments of our devoted listeners.
And we're all out of bubblegum.
And, of course, if our listeners would like us to read their question or comment over the air, what do they have to do, Tony?
Send $5 to... No. You need to email the hat. That has its own email address. It's what makes it magic. It doesn't talk. The email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Email it with your questions or your topics. You can have more than one in an email. Don't get crazy. And try and keep it, you know, a nice size, small, like you were tweeting. Do like, you know, 140... 135 characters or so is a good amount.
Yes, tweeting.
Tweeting. I can't settle on an accent.
Dear Hat.
Who's it from?
Doesn't say.
Oh!
But it says Dear Hat. Very familiar.
I always assume that those are from a Baldwin. I don't know which one.
Maybe. It kind of doesn't matter, does it?
Well, it does if it's Adam. Because he's not technically in the family.
Oh, okay.
And he was Jane, so I mean, what the hell, you know?
Dear Hat,
Did you know that Adam Baldwin's not related to the other Baldwins?
No.
Yeah.
I do now.
But yeah.
I didn't know until you just said it. Dear Hat, it says, I want more Ezzy, give me more Ezzy.
You come and get her. We'll get. She found a new spot in the family room to rest, and it's not near any of us, so it's awesome.
Huh. Well.
She just was resting there. She's been really needy lately.
Well, she's not out here now. Nobody's out here.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
The last couple times I've come here, nobody's out here.
Twiglet was almost ate the little Velcro strap on your power cord earlier. Did you not? You were busy trying to be all technical. Yeah, he was messing. He was sniffing all the stuff.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, you're too focused.
Too focused.
Focused on the engineering of a brilliant podcast. No, but Ezzy has been really needy lately. Like, she needs a lot of love, which is normally okay because it's sweet and cute and stuff, but she really doesn't understand the concept that, like, love with claws and teeth amongst people who aren't married is inappropriate. And so it hurts. She's like, oh, pet me. And then she digs her claws into you. Or she's like, scratch my head, and as a reward, I'm going to bite you. Like, she doesn't, she thinks it's all cute. And she's not been properly trained like our other cats. Trish trained hers, like, weird before I ever came along. She actually trained them to her pain threshold. If they used their claws or their teeth and it didn't hurt, she didn't do anything. But the point that it hurt her and she didn't like it, she would stick her finger down their throat. And they learned.
Down their throat.
Yep. And they learned. She's going to be so mad for me saying that out loud now based on your reaction.
I think I'd sooner endure the pain than stick my finger down a cat's throat.
Oh, haven't you ever given a cat a pill?
No, I've never given a cat a pill.
It's not fun.
Yeah, but it's not.
And Twiglet, I don't remember what I did with Twiglet. I probably just any time he ticked me off, I like hit him with a hammer or something. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
He's just calmed down as he's gotten older. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if it's brain damage or probably, maturity, yeah. But... you know,
maybe we should draw something else out of the hat
already
before you confess any more animal abuse.
You know, I didn't really hit him with a
hammer. I know you didn't really hit him with a hammer.
I did run him over with my car.
Oh god,
3 times.
Okay,
2 were on accident. Oh yeah, I'll draw something.
Sorry, person who wants more Ezzy. Ezzy's not here. There's nothing we can do about it.
I could fake it. I could pretend to be Izzy. And seriously, go to our gift shop in the Denver airport and buy her, please.
I imagine people have forgotten all about that.
Hard hats never forget.
Episode 3 or 4 or something. Maybe it was 2. I don't know.
Steven Gerbic from Serbia.
Yay.
Or Steven. No idea if he's still listening, but here we are.
I hope he is.
This doesn't have the sign. It may be an old question, but I think this might be a little bit digested. I don't know. What do you think about bedroom role-playing game rulebook publishing?
I don't understand what that means.
Well, it could mean one of 2 things.
Oh, okay.
You're
going to apply some logic now.
Well,
because you don't know either, and you're
Well,
guessing.
I know one, but I have a theory about a second possibly.
Oh, okay.
One thing is, there is an actual, when D&D was it 3rd edition, basically did the open gaming license, and they did the D20 system, and anybody could publish stuff in the D20 system. Everybody did, and what finally happened is one company decided they were going to publish the erotic role playing handbook, which had mechanical information and stats and stuff on role-playing sex and seduction and things like that. And then Wizards of the Coast said, oh crap, and they locked down the license, and that was the end of D20.
Okay.
Because nobody thought that was going to happen. So we may be talking about that book.
Okay.
Which is not a wife still, by the way. I have a copy. I'm not going to say I purchased a copy because I didn't, but I have a copy.
Moving on.
It's really not that interesting, it's sad. And the other thing I'm thinking, because this is bedroom role-playing game, you know, role-playing in the romantic couple spicing up their sex life role-playing. Somebody may have written books, like rule books on that. I could totally see that as market. I have not encountered said things.
But so what, the question's saying, what do we think about that?
Yes.
What, think about it.
What's your thoughts and feelings on the existence of such a thing? Come on, if we weren't talking about sex here, you would not be like, think about it. What you would just say.
What do you think you about bedroom role-playing game rulebook? Publishing? Like, publishing. About the books themselves or about them being published? Or
what do you think of the concept of such a thing existing?
Let's go with that. I don't know.
Do you think it's silly or evil or cool or...
I don't have an opinion about it one way or the other.
I thought you might not.
It sounds like something that has been around in one form and another for a very long time.
William's scared of sex, people.
No.
I should have explained this a while ago. I'm not. William is scared, I'm not scared of sex.
No.
As a small child, he was chased by rabbit packs of feral strippers. was part of his hillbilly upbringing. And so now he's scared of sex.
No.
Also, I think there was a wood chopping accident when he was younger, and I don't even want to get into that. So yeah, that's why you guys may have noticed this theme of this.
No, what I hope they've noticed is I'm not particularly interested in discussing any particular person's sex life.
Cause he's scared.
The topic of sex by itself does not threaten or scare me. No.
What about the topics of sex books?
I told you I really don't have an opinion about it either way. Again, it sounds like something that's been around in one form or another for a long time. I mean, you know.
I found the D&D one to be ridiculous. It didn't...
But who cares about this kind of thing, really? I mean, here's what I don't understand. Forget about it being a role-playing game or D&D or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I said, I'm sure that the archaeological record, anthropological record, will show that these types of things have existed for a long time. I have to confess being baffled a little bit by their very existence. Because, you know, it seems to me that sex is a thing that two people or however many people together doing it can sort of figure out. Well, what do they need a book for?
Now, see, I find that very interesting because I don't think that's the case by a long shot, because lots of people, and Kinsey's study, you know, only sort of hinted at this, but lots of people, due to a myriad of fucked up upbringings and so forth, have completely screwed up sexual self-identities. And if you put them with somebody who they care about a great deal and want to have sex with, could mess up. I mean, the classic version is being unable to orgasm, which I've known many women who couldn't figure it out for years or decades in all sorts of situations and needed a great deal of help to figure it out. But there's all sorts of versions, like ideas that get created in your head about sex that can be very unhealthy and very difficult to work out with a partner because of the stupid things your parents taught you, or the weird things you were punished for as a child, or the weird stuff that your parents, who are hoping to avoid the topic altogether, told you about sex.
Most of these examples you're citing that happen to young people and mess up their sexual identities are, like, from American or Western culture. So what you're saying is that...
Well, and to me, these ones with, you know, spice up your sex life kind of thing, it's just another variety of a self-help book.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm saying. So you're saying that people in the West, and maybe Americans in particular, are prone to sexual dysfunction?
Well, I don't know. It's much more clearly recorded now. I'm sure there's... Basically, if you go back far enough into other cultures, the simple existence of... again, taking the easy route for this, heavily sexist, heavily chauvinist, heavily misogynist cultures.
Yes.
I think it's pretty easy to say that particularly the women probably were brought up with a lot of weird sexual hang-ups.
Right,
that
right.
Had there been a book like this around, yes, might have been helpful for them. I mean, it's...
Well, but no, that's not the case. I mean, in those cultures you're speaking of, where yes, it's highly misogynistic, there's
book is going to be in line with the culture. Yeah, yes, it has to be counter to the culture that brings them up.
But and yes, those cultures exist, and yes, that's a dysfunctional situation, but it's also very obvious what's going on there. But it strikes me what you're talking about can be a lot more subtle, a lot more varied, although I would I would suggest that sexism is probably an undercurrent of all of it. But,
very common, yes.
But there are other things going on that make it more than that or more complex than that or whatever, particularly in the United States. Or, well, I mean, I should say the West, I suppose.
Quite possible, but I think I haven't done the effort or anything, and the best I can come up with anecdotal, but I do think there is demonstrably evidence that books that fall into this category have helped many people.
Well, I guess that's
there's lots of ones that are stupid too. I mean, there's lots of terrible ones out there, but
well, I would think that once a book on the topic was written and if it sold very well, that the first thing that would happen is a whole bunch of books that aren't going to be helpful at all would come out to make some money.
Which I think has. Yeah. But there have been some particular good ones. The only one that comes to mind right now was one called She Comes First, that I can't recall the author either, but I'm going to look up the link to that one. Because I even read some of that one, and that was very good. And it is specific to a certain demographic for each one, because there is such a myriad of dysfunction, especially in modern Western society. You know, there isn't a book that's going to help everybody. But there have been some that have been... Well, and, you know, at the time, it was The Joy of Sex was a very landmark thing. And again, that was largely about either people who had thoughts and feelings that they were convinced were weird, or about people who had been raised in such a way that it didn't occur to them to even think in certain terms. And then this book said, hey, think in these terms. And they were like, ooh, this is awesome. And I'm not saying overall that the industry is a good thing or that there haven't been more books that are a problem. But the original point I was attempting to refute on your part is, why is this necessary? Because when you put people together who want to have sex, they'll figure it out.
I wasn't making an assertion. I was asking a question.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I don't.
Well, okay, then my answer, that was to say, here's why.
It just seems, I don't know, that it's, I'm saying that a priori, I think one, if they were just thinking about it without all of this cultural underpinnings and whatever, I think they would generally think, or at least be tempted to think that, well, nobody really needs instruction on this. It kind of takes care of itself, and people are communicating with one another. But yes, I grant that that's the whole problem. People don't communicate with one another, or they come in with preconceived notions that they don't.
Yeah, nobody shows up a priori without all their cultural stuff.
No. I know that, but that's not really what I was getting at. It's just so, I don't know. It seems like something that the people involved in it, if they're adequately communicating with one another and adequately respecting one another, you know, whatever cultural stuff they bring to it could get smoothed out. It wouldn't be so severe, the cultural stuff, that they need a book to help them navigate or negotiate. But of course, that's easy for me to say. I mean, I'm a heterosexual male, and you know, I mean, that's, you know, part of it. I don't,
and a boring heterosexual
yes,
male.
Yes, exactly.
Don't forget that.
So you know, if there were any, if I had any tendencies that would be considered by our culture as deviant in any way, I suppose that would make things a lot more complicated.
And also, I think ultimately, I think the communication issue exists. I think to a certain degree, and with all of these self-help books, if they're any good, a big chunk of them is teaching the method of communication. In this case, it's a fairly specific one. But I mean, I think you said if they communicate openly with each other, in some cases, I think some of this material teaches you to do that.
Mm.
I do believe, and again, old people can correct me if I'm wrong, but The Joy of Sex actually had a fair bit in it about telling your partner what you want and what you like and what you don't, which at the time was still somewhat novel in this society.
No, yeah, I suppose that's true, yeah.
But again, having not read a lot of these, I don't know. I did read some of She Comes First, but not the whole thing.
Well, I suppose if books like the one that Stephen is asking about or other books help people live a better quality of life, then, you know, I'm all for it. But I think it says something very sad about our culture that we need such things, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But we can add that to the list. add it things to the list. Say sad things about our culture. I just found the D&D one, which was actually about role-playing games and trying to put this in here, ridiculous, because I'm like, most people don't want to put that in their role-playing games. And the people that do aren't looking for mechanics for it.
No. Or they can figure it out.
Yeah, but I mean, mostly, exactly. If you really want that in there, which I have played in certain scenarios in certain groups at certain times in my life, where that was in the games because we knew each other well enough, and, you know, that was part of the drama as they became sexual tensions and things like that. It's a role-playing thing. We weren't big on, oh my god, let me roll the dice for orgasm. Like, really? No. And I think, and the argument often is that people did it essentially as a joke. But yeah, it did shut down the whole gaming license thing. It was amazing.
All right.
So Steven, that's what we think. And thank you so much for your question to make this sound like a naughty version of the McLaughlin. We appreciate that. How are we doing on time?
We've got plenty of time for another one.
Okay, go for it.
Maybe a couple.
Oh my goodness.
I can't reach it. I'm trying to.
The hat is deep and the hat is mighty. By the way, craft dinner.
Croft. Ask the hat. Azure Talon, it wants me to ask the hat something.
Azure Talon, the hat doesn't talk. Fucker.
Fine, you're going to have to just live with asking us what a swallow tattoo on a man's chest means.
That depends on what you mean by a swallow tattoo, I think.
A bird, I presume, a little...
I hope so.
Like Captain Jack Swallow's tattoo on his, what, arm? He's got one on his
Captain
arm.
Jack Sparrow.
What'd I say?
Captain Jack Swallow. Which I'm sure there was a guy by that name in a different movie.
Never mind.
Captain Jack
Sparrow. Well, it's probably Sparrow.
I really hope somebody's porn parody used that.
What am I thinking?
But I really hope somebody used that. If not, you're a genius, man. You need to be making porn. That's awesome. Captain Jack Swallow. That might be tonight's episode title.
Please don't. Because when I see a tattoo of a small bird and I think it's a swallow, it's because it's of its forked tail, and I think the tattoo that Captain Jack in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies has a forked tail like that, because sparrows don't have forked tails. But anyway,
You found an inconsistency in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, or I could be wrong. Maybe I'm not paying that much attention.
You're a horrible ornithologist, and you should be ashamed.
I think it just means that the fella couldn't decide on what tattoo he wanted, and he let the artist decide, and the artist decided, okay, yeah, this swallow, that's nice.
If you don't know, it's a swallow. It's not a bad looking bird to put on you.
No.
If you hear it's a swallow, I mean, alternate meanings of the word and connotations therein aside, the swallow, it sounds kind of like a wimpy girly bird. I don't
yeah, but they're not. I mean, they're especially barn swallows. I remember down on the farm, I was
a whole barn. No, sorry,
I was watching the swallows fly around the barn, because they lived in our barn. And when they flew, you know, they dart in and out of, like, small holes. I mean, they were great flyers.
Mm.
And one of our cats walked into the barnyard and sort of sat in the middle of it for reasons I don't know. But she just sat there. And then and the swallows came out sort of, and they flew in a kind of formation out around the barn. And they dived on her and pecked her in the head. And, you know, like three of them right in a row.
Awesome.
And then they, you know, she tried to catch him but couldn't, and then they came around for another pass, you know. They just kept doing that to her until she ran away.
Dude, okay, it's apparently weird. If a man has a tattoo of a swallow on his chest, it means he's awesome.
Barn swallows.
I kind of want to get one now.
I mean, even out in Coralville, there's a park near where we live, and you can sit on the bank sometimes and watch
them. And get pecked by a swallow.
No, watch them skim the water for bugs and stuff. They're amazingly agile flyers. and to see them sort of fly and a kind of in an, you know, around a barn, in and out of little small, you know, they'll just go right into a little hole and then come out over here. I mean, they're just, it's like watching, I don't know what, it's like, you know, watching fighter pilots or something practice, but like on an obstacle course that looks like it's really hard to fly in. And then, you know, here comes this cat and they attack it and it has to run away. That's pretty cool.
I think it'd be good.
And the shape of the silhouette of a swallow, and when you see it, its wing shape, and if it's the barn swallow, it has that forked tail. It looks all streamlined, you know, and almost
yeah,
like
this is what I'm thinking. Yeah,
like
cool.
Almost like a stealth fighter or yeah. something. So they're very attractive birds, and they're very good flyers. I don't know. I suppose their name does sort of sound sort of wimpy, but.
Well, and I see for swallows, to me, I always think back to the damn Looney Tunes cartoon. You know, and so, but you know why he asked this?
No, I don't know why.
Which one is to say, Azure Talon, tattoo swallow on a man's chest means he's gay, means he's a big gay man whore. Are you happy now, Azure Talon? You freaking homophobe. There.
Is that what it means?
Are you satisfied? That's what he thinks it means.
Oh, is it?
I think it now means that awesome. I kind of want to get one because apparently swallows kick ass.
Well.
Or at least cats.
Yeah, I can't. I you know if I saw a guy and he had a swallow tattoo on his chest, I would think I wouldn't.
He
think
needs
anything.
To put his shirt on.
Yeah,
is what
that's
you
probably
would
what I would think. But I would probably guess, unless he was a fan of the bird that you know that like I am, that he probably just couldn't afford anything else, or that or he took the.
Or he couldn't afford anything
or
but the swallow.
Or he took the suggestion of the tattoo artist, or he was really drunk and passed out. So the
somebody,
tattoo artist...
somebody told him it means strength and discipline in Japanese kanji.
I don't know. It just it really doesn't seem like something really anybody would choose to put on their chest unless they
want to be awesome.
Unless they're a fan of the bird. Which they, I think they should be because they're really awesome birds, but not a lot of people think so.
But the hat has a follow-up question for you, Azure Talon. In what context did you witness this? And thanks for your question, homophobe. We got time for another?
One more.
Okay.
One more!
Don't let this one be Azure Talon. I want to end on that kind of horrible, prejudicial note, jerk. Hey, this is from Michelle.
Michelle?
Yes.
Wow. It's been a while.
Am I allowed to say who Michelle is?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll have to talk about it later. It's weird because people like to sign with different names.
But hasn't she been on the show before, or was that someone else? Okay.
I think she has as Michelle. I know she has.
As someone else. Okay, I got you.
And this is why I get confused. And I happen. Yeah, this is weird. Okay, anyway. Wow. This is probably an old question.
Uh-oh. We've addressed this before?
No. You'll see why this is probably an old question.
Okay.
How awesome is the HBO Game of Thrones show going to be?
Going to be.
In parentheses, seriously, your head is going to explode. Michelle.
Well, our heads have not exploded.
We can confidently answer, heads did not explode, and it was exactly as awesome as it was.
Yeah.
I heard good things.
Well, I watched the first one and decided not to continue.
I read this book.
Mm-hmm.
The first Game of Thrones is the first book in the series, and this season of the show was essentially supposed to cover that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it under false pretenses because I don't read series ongoing unless they're standalones. And yes, I'm aware that Dresden Files is sort of contradictory to that. And as I read on, I'm a little bit annoyed, but I like them too much. And so I've chosen not to read any more of these. And I just, well, we didn't have HBO anyway, but I just didn't feel, I mean, I could have torrented it or something, but I don't know, I didn't feel like, I'd read the book, I didn't particularly feel like getting involved, and I didn't want to do it and then have a second season be about a book I haven't read yet that I might read someday, so I didn't do it. I heard decent things, mostly, I heard there was an element of what the Tudors created for all premium cable shows now. Hilarious. Trish is watching the Tudors right now on Netflix Instant Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird to watch because the Tudors, I don't know, William, you're so you may not be aware of this. The Tudors, historical drama,
mm-hmm.
very quickly just pretty much became softcore porn with period costumes.
Now, see, here's the thing. You know, I watch some television over at a mutual friend's house
uh-huh.
every Monday or Tuesday night, and we started watching it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as bad that way as I heard it.
Have you hit the second season yet?
No.
Nah.
Okay.
I think that's what... But the thing is, because it was so popular, it convinced all the premium cable channels to do this. So we had Camelot and Borgias and stuff like this, and it's become a thing now. You just have, like, tits and period costumes. and they're hugely popular. Okay. And so I've heard that Game of Thrones has an element of this.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I've heard from fans of the material that it's been decent. I mean, certain people had certain issues, like you always do when stuff is based off of books. But
well, most of the people I've heard from liked it, and some of those people were familiar with the material. And when I watched the first one and stopped, not because it was bad in particular, but I just, you know...
Fear of sex.
No, when I realized that it kind of took place in a sort of, you know, different...
Yeah, that's why I may not even go back. I don't think they're bad writing. I'm not sure I like the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because it is the serious feudal stuff, and I don't often go for that. It was what originally had me balking at Dune. It's why I had problems with the Anne McCaffrey stuff.
Hmm.
These rigid hierarchical things where nobody's ever going to change their lot in life unless it's the stable boy who becomes king because of some damn prophecy. I'm not into those. And there's a lot going on in the Song of Ice and Fire, and the stuff is well written, and George R. R. Martin should be proud. The setting, I'm not sure I'm down with.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what it came down to for me was, okay, so to watch this show, I kind of have to sort of buy into this different type of world or whatever, and I didn't feel like it. You know, I'm sure it would have taken several shows for me to really even understand how everything worked and how everyone was related and what country was what.
And
I just didn't want to invest that kind of effort into a TV show, at least not right now. But I've heard it's really good. I have to say, though, most of the people I've heard that from like the original material. And so, you know, that's...
Yeah, I haven't talked to a lot of people who...
Well, but if you like the original material and you think the show is treating the original material well, you kind of go in with a bias then, you know, so...
I think so, but people who like original material, especially when it's books, are often more likely to dislike...
Yeah, they're difficult to please, I'll grant you. But I mean, even like with the Harry Potter films, a lot of people who read the books like the films, but as someone who didn't read the books, I was often lost watching the films and didn't really get that much,
get into them. I will still say, for book-to-movie translations, I think Harry Potter were some of the best ones. But that being said, a faithful book-to-movie translation does not necessarily make a good standalone movie. Yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point. And, I mean, yeah, it doesn't... People who like the book like the TV show. That speaks towards a lot of things. It does not speak towards other things. I mean, you know.
Yeah, right. That's a very...
You don't know if you'll like the TV show because maybe you wouldn't like the book.
And I don't think I would like the book.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Also, the book's really long.
All right. Well, thank you, Azure Talon, Michelle, Steven, and Anonymous for your submissions.
Thank you so much for your submissions, except Azure Talon. fuck you homophobe. And
if you'd like to make some kind of comment about this broadcast or anything else that isn't directed toward the hat, you can visit our blog.
Because the hat doesn't talk. Because the hat... This is our blog. Talk. Where's our blog?
It's at www.
Oh, fuck that. We don't need no stinking www's.
TheMagicalDockingHat.com.
Thank you. What is wrong with you, www's? Backward. And you're running the computer tonight. That's not right at all.
Oh, we're almost out of time. And the
we don't have a time limit. It's going to
turn
you
into a pumpkin.
Hey. Yes, TheMagicalDockingHat.com. And as always, email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And you can go on Facebook and you can like us there, like Kelly and Sean did. We're very happy about that. Good job, guys.
Yay.
Hope you're actually listening so you can hear that. Or if you're just doing me a favor. And, you know, write a review on iTunes, because then I would be happy. And if you already did this week, I apologize. I haven't seen iTunes since my computer was broken. If you did, or if you do before the next episode, I will totally give you a shout out and lots of podcast love for doing so. And I apologize if I haven't, if you did it already. I haven't seen it, but I will soon. And I think that's it.
Okay.
So I guess we'll see you next week.
Next week, disregard everything.
Oh, this.
But that's what the guy's going to say.
Maybe next, maybe the episode should be called Feral Packs of Strippers.
Yeah, do whatever you want, but just not that other thing.
God, Jagswell.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.